Welcome to the Living Rock podcast.
We're going to continue our series this morning from the last few months, Walk This Way. And if you just turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 13, title for this morning is How Deep Is Your Word? How deep is your word? Question mark. So it's a question I really want us to consider together and to ask ourselves, as well as asking the Lord, really. How deep is God's word going into our lives? So we're going to read from the beginning of Matthew 13. Now just wait for the rustle of pages to die down. Rustle, rustle, rustle. And I know you've got there. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. If that's okay. That was a bit of silence after that, wasn't it? A bit of tumbleweed came through the room. I don't have the NLT, I'm sorry. But you have to put up with the ESV. Right, anyway, it says at the beginning, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then if you just go down to verse 18, so then Jesus talks just after that bit we've read about the purpose of parables and why he was speaking to them in parables. And then in verse 18, he starts to explain what this parable's all about. He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And this parable is often seen as speaking about the gospel going out into the world and how the gospel will be heard by different types of people. But there's another meaning, which is how the word of the kingdom is going into our hearts and whether it's received in our hearts. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning and to sort of focus on our time on this morning, about whether we are receptive to the word of the kingdom, whether it's changing us, what it's doing inside of us. I just want us to consider that really this morning. And the first thing was that Jesus said that some of the seed fell on the path. And you'll notice when he interprets that, he says, in verse 19, he says, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart, so that we may not believe. And it's Satan's intent and purpose that when you hear God's word, and God's word is designed to do you good. When the word of God comes to me, it is always to build me up. It's always to encourage me. It's always to strengthen me. It's always to do me good. It doesn't mean it's always easy to hear, but it's there to do me good. And Satan doesn't want anything in my life that will do me good. He wants to see me damaged. He wants to see me held back and limited. And therefore, he's waiting for an opportunity to snatch away the word as soon as it comes. When we have an unreceptive heart, That provides the enemy with just that opportunity. It's easy pickings for him because the seed comes, it doesn't come down, it doesn't start to come down into our heart, and he just comes along and takes it away. And he does it in lots of different ways. Sometimes he'll lie to us. So the things that we've heard that God will speak to us either directly or others will speak into us, or the word of God is speaking into our hearts. As soon as we hear it, if we're unreceptive to it, Satan will come along and just say, that's just not true. That's not true of you. God doesn't want to bless you like that. God doesn't want to help you like that. Or the things that God is promising, they're for other people, but they're not for you. Or they're not for you because of this in your life. Or they're not for you because you're like this. In lots of different ways, we've all heard those lies from the enemy, that little whispering voice. And that's his strategy, is always to lie to us about the word. But there can be lots of reasons why our hearts are unreceptive in the first place. And you'll notice in verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. And we have to think, what does it mean when Jesus is saying we don't understand it? What's he talking about? He's talking about whether it's come by way of revelation to us. So I can stand here and say anything. I can explain things that are in the word of God. I can tell you what the word of God says. And your primary means of receiving that has got to be your heart. It's the same for me. We've got to receive God's word into our hearts. And I remember when I was here in the autumn, I was talking about how we are triune. We are spirit and body and mind. And how we've been born again is that now our hearts, our spirits within us, are able to receive directly spiritual things. So when spiritual truths come, when the Spirit speaks to us, when he imparts something to us, God wants it to come into my heart where I can understand it. And from there, it can go to my mind. And then if necessary, it can go to my body if I need to do something different with my body, for example. But it has to come in that order. And the problem is that lots of us sometimes, we hear the word of God and our mind says to our spirit, I've got this. I've got this. Let me just think this through. And that's not the right order. The mind is trying to drive you. The mind is trying to say, I'm in the driving seat here and I'm the one that understands the word of God as it comes in. It's not. You've got to receive it in your heart. You've got to receive everything that God has for you by faith. When we receive it by faith, we understand it in a way that the mind just cannot receive it and cannot understand it. But as soon as I've got it in my heart, then it can filter down to my mind. And over time, my mind learns to listen to my heart. And the mind learns to accept that sometimes aren't all the answers there, all the answers that the mind wants. But over time, we learn to accept that, say, do you know what? My heart's telling me this is the right thing because God said it. And if God said it, I believe it. And that just settles it in my life. So that's the really important thing is, how are we receiving the word of God? Is your brain getting in the way? And if it is, you've got to put it in the right order. You've got to tell your brain who's boss. And that's your spirit within you and the Holy Spirit speaking to you. So don't let our minds be an obstacle to revelation. But I think there can be other points of resistance for the word of God when it comes to us. And you notice when he's talking about this, the path, it talks about the birds came down and ate off it. And the ground is hard where the path is. And I think Jesus was standing on, he was obviously standing on the lake shore. There were too many people, so he got in a boat. He's standing on, or sitting in this boat. Everyone else was standing, actually, and he was sitting, which I think is a really good precedent. I don't know why we do it the other way around, but he was comfortable sitting. Everyone else was standing on the shore. And he was probably looking around him at all of the scenery because Jesus often would just use what was around. He'd point to things that were happening and say, the kingdom of God is like this. Kingdom of God looks like that. And the parables were a really helpful way of doing that. And they would have been very familiar with fields that were sown with seed and a farmer going out to sow seed. So it was something that the people could relate to when they were listening to him. And back then in Palestine, a lot of the landscape was ploughed into very narrow furrows that the farmer would go out and chuck seed into. Sometimes they'd stick seed on the back of an oxen and let the oxen wander, and it would just come out a bag with a hole in it, and seed would be scattered. But between these furrows, there would be these bits of ground that wouldn't be a path as you and I might recognise it, like with grit down or tarmac or something, but it would just be hard, compacted soil where people would walk between all of these small holdings. And that ground had become hard over time, and it became downtrodden and hard-trodden, compacted soil. And so what Jesus is saying is, look, sometimes the seed of the kingdom is going out, and it's just landing on that little bit of ground there. And it's not going to get through because it's just hard. And I think for us, there are things that have become hard over time. Sometimes it's in the mind again. There's a long established thought patterns. If you just consider the way you think about things and how that's changed over time, there are some things that we think about and we don't change the way we think about those things, do we? Our thinking's become a bit set. Can you identify with that? Are there lots of things where you haven't changed your mind on that for a long time? And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's a fact that the way we think about things, sometimes over time, it gets set into a particular way, and we don't consider whether that should change or not. Some of those things are okay. Some of those things are not okay. Sometimes we just think about things a certain way, and God wants to speak into our hearts and say, hey, I need you to start thinking about this differently. You've come to think about things in a certain way, but I want that to change. And the trouble is, over time, it becomes harder to recognize where our thought patterns have become set in their ways, become kind of stuck in a certain way of thinking. And that's when the mind's in control. And that's that process again where we have to say, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, I want you to show me where my thinking has just been set and hardened so that it won't change. It's not opening up to your word and to your voice into my life. Sometimes it's not just the way we think has become set and hard over time, but actually we've got things that have been held in our hearts for a long time, such as hurts. Sometimes there are parts of our hearts that have become like that well-trodden path, that downtrodden soil, where we've just been hurt in the past, and now that's just an impervious bit of me. Sometimes those hurts can go back such a long way that we've forgotten that we do that, that there's just an area that's just closed off. We don't let anyone or anyone else into that area of our life. Not even God. And I think sometimes we need the Holy Spirit's help to identify them, and we need to trust him and be courageous to say, Lord, I'm willing to open up my heart in that area again. And some of these things that run really deep. Sometimes it's something like long-held disappointments. You know, I was talking to someone only yesterday, chatting to someone who was telling me about disappointment after disappointment after disappointment that they'd had, probably going back 20 years. And they're all just different situations, but they just felt that what God had got for them, they just didn't get in that situation, or what God had said to them just didn't happen, or what had been promised to them by other people just didn't materialize. And I realized that person, their heart was just like this sort of solid soil, and all this disappointment was just being carried around, and it meant that they weren't open now to see God saying, look, you need to put all that aside, but this is what I want for this season of your life. They were just looking back at the past and kind of wrapped up in that. All of this gives an opportunity for the enemy to come and rob us of the good things that God has got for us. And I just want to lay down a challenge this morning to each of us. And I believe the Holy Spirit is here to help us to see where we've maybe got some blind spots about those things. Maybe some areas where we've just hardened up a little, or things that we think about, we're just not willing to change in that. The way that we're living our life, maybe the priorities we've got. And just be willing to say, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to give you carte blanche. I'm just going to give you an open page. You just tell me. And if it's hard, I'll deal with that. But I'm giving you permission. I'm asking you to speak into my life. Second area that Jesus identifies is this rocky ground. And this is where the seed was well received at first. But the ground was shallow. So he said the seed comes down. And because it was shallow, it takes root really quickly. And if you've been in your garden or you've done any gardening, you sometimes get these little bits of soil. And there's not much there, but something can spring up really quickly there. But then he says the sun comes out. And then that little plant gets scorched because it hasn't got any roots. So when the heat comes, it's got no way of drawing moisture up from the soil so that it can survive. And this is where God is speaking about his word coming into our lives, him speaking into our lives. And when we first hear what God's got to say, we respond really well. And actually, we're really happy with what God's got to say. There's a joy that comes in our hearts. But it doesn't mean that that word of God is going down deep into our hearts. It may have only penetrated just the surface of the soil. So it creates this initial response. And Jesus gives us two reasons why the seed won't go down and why what God's speaking into our lives won't have any permanent effect. The first thing he says is, there's a lack of root. So he said in verse 21, if you look at your Bible, it says, yet he has no root in himself. And you need to be rooted into the things of God to be able to survive things that come your way. In this case, Jesus is talking about trial and tribulation. He talks about tribulation and persecution. And you know, just a little bit further on in this chapter, Jesus tells this really short story about the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God's like this man that finds this pearl of great price in a field. And he realizes that he'll be willing to sell everything to get that pearl. So he goes away and sells everything he has, uses the money, buys the field, gets this pearl of great price. And he's trying to say to us, the kingdom of God will cost us everything. And this is what Phil was encouraging us with. The kingdom of God comes at a cost. The gospel is not for free. Grace is freely given and forgiveness is freely given. But what it costs us in terms of what we need to give up is very expensive because God wants absolutely everything. And the problem is if we don't count the cost, then when God speaks to us, what our ears hear is all the blessings, but we kind of filter out all the potential costs involved in that. And the problem is when trouble comes, we're just not willing at that point. At that point, we step back and say, you know what? I'm out. I'm just not willing to go through this. And you notice that Jesus said, on account of the word. You see that in the text there? When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word. If you believe the word of God, it will bring tribulation and maybe even persecution into your life. I don't know whether anyone explained that to you when you signed up. They didn't really tell me about that. But it's true. Jesus says, you will have trouble in this life. But he says, don't worry, I've overcome the evil one. So we will face trial and tribulation. And we need to be ready for that. And that's going to take different forms depending on who you are and where you live. Somewhere around the world, believers are suffering to the cost of their lives. In other places, it's easier to be a believer. There'll be other forms of opposition. We will face opposition in the times to come. And I'm not trying to be dour. I'm just trying to be realistic, folks. The enemy is going to resist an expanding kingdom. The kingdom of God is going to get brighter and bolder. And the kingdom of Satan is going to fight tooth and nail. And that means there will be opposition. Now is the time to consider the cost and say, am I in? And I hope the answer to that is yes. And you know why? Because I wouldn't want to be on the other side. This is the winning side. It's a bit of a Hobson's choice in lots of respects, isn't it, really? But we will face those things and we need to be ready for them. We need to be those that are not just looking for the blessings of the kingdom of God, but are willing to sell everything that we have to lay hold of this great treasure. And that starts with little choices where we do the things that we don't want to do and not the things that we do want to do. That cost that Phil spoke about. like the woman that brought the expensive perfume, saying, Lord, I'm going to give you something that's cost me because you're worth it, Lord, and I want you to be everything to me. The other reason he gives, by the way, is a lack of water. It says in Luke 8:6 now, so this is in Luke's account of the same parable, it says, as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. So because it was shallow soil, the roots couldn't go down, and therefore the plants couldn't draw up moisture in those times when things got tough. And I think there are times when the Word of God comes into our hearts and God is faithful in speaking into us, but then we now have a responsibility, don't we? When you and I hear from God and he speaks to us, what do we do with that? Because it can be very easy to hear that and say, yes, Lord, yep, that's great, I'm encouraged by that. But what do we do with those things? Mary treasured what God said to her in her heart, didn't she? She was a great example to us that she treasured all these things in her heart. And I think the question for me is, am I treasuring what God has spoken over my life in my heart? Am I watering the word? Am I nourishing it? And we can do that by praying over what God has said to us. Whatever we've heard that's come, that's a challenge to us, to sit down with the Lord and to pray over that, say, Holy Spirit, help me to take hold of this word. We can speak over our lives with what God has said. Speak words of faith. When we come across times when everything that God has said doesn't seem to be working out, we can respond to that by saying, I'm not going to believe the circumstances, but I'm going to go back to what God said to me and I'm going to speak that over my life. It's already been mentioned today about God being faithful to our families. Those of us that are privileged enough to be parents will know that the hardest thing is to watch your children going through really tough things. Often where you think, well, where is God in all of this? And they're the times when we have to draw on what God has said. We have to water the word. We have to speak the word, not only over ourselves and over our family, but over our children, till we see God come through. We go through those times for purpose, as God is helping us to mature and to set our roots down even deeper. The other way which we can water the word, by the way, is accountability. When God says something to you, maybe it's a challenge. This is a really good one where accountability comes in. Confide in a friend. Confide in someone you trust and say, you know what, I think God was speaking about this and I'm struggling to deal with that. I'm struggling to kind of get hold of it. I'm struggling to make some changes that I feel I should make. When you tell someone else that, it really helps. Because if it's a trusted friend, they're not going to hold you to it in a way that says, we've done that yet. But they're going to encourage you in it, saying, do you know what? I was praying for you the other day because you told me about this thing that God wants to do and you're struggling with it. And I've just been praying that God's going to give you the strength. He's going to encourage you every day. And knowing that someone else is supporting you and praying in those things that God wants to do in your life, and that you will be able to tell them about how you're doing, really helps us treasure the word of God. So it's really important. The third place that the seed lands is where there is lots of weeds. Now, in my garden, I have lots of bark. So when I was growing up, I did lots of weeding when I was a kid. We had a garden, and each of us, I'm one of four kids, we each have a weeding patch that we had to do every Saturday. And then because I'm the youngest of four, when someone left, the three that were left inherited a bigger patch. Guess what happened at the end, folks? Yeah. They think I was spoiled. I don't think I was spoiled. And that remains a point of contention. So I know how weeds grow up really quickly and what they can do to plants. They grow faster than plants do. My dad said to me, a weed, son, is any plant that you don't want. That was his definition of a weed. There were lots of plants he did not want in our garden, and they grew really quickly. And Jesus identifies two things that become weeds in our lives and choke the word of God. Look in verse 22. You see, he says, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves to be unfruitful. The fruit doesn't mature, Luke says. Their fruit does not mature. So it gives these two reasons why our fruit And that is the thing that God sows into us that can grow up and produce something in our lives doesn't mature. He said the deceitfulness of riches, or the riches of this life. The plain fact of it is that when you don't have much money, it's quite easy for money not to be a problem. Sometimes it is. But the more wealthy we become, the more comfortable we become. Very slowly, we get used to that, don't we? We're great at adapting to life, and we're actually good at adapting to comfort and nice things as well. And over time, again, we can be in a situation where we like the nice things of life, we like our comfort, we don't like being out of our comfort zone, and that just starts to take a pervasive influence over our life. And therefore, when the demands of the kingdom come, we don't really like it. And we find ways and excuses to legitimately say, well, I'm not going to do that. And we come up with a legitimate excuse for it. I'm brilliant at doing it. I'm not the only one, I'm sure. But the fact of it is, Jesus said, we cannot serve God and mammon. Which is, that word that he used actually means, it's not just money, it means wealth, plentifulness, everything in this life of comfort, if you like. Jesus said, you can't serve both. It's one or the other. And that means there are times when God will demand things of us and it will come at a material cost to us. And that may be sowing something that we would rather spend on something else. Or it may be just putting up with things that we feel are a little bit out of our comfort zone. The problem is that we can't hold these two things together. We can't have both. The kingdom of God must come first for us. That's what counting the cost means. The kingdom of God comes first. But if there are things in our lives where we're starting to prioritize our wealth and we tie that up with our happiness, then the kingdom of God will always be knocked down to second place. And we can't live like that as believers. The fact of it is that the word of God won't produce something fruitful in us. The things that God wants to do in us will just stay as little plants. They won't mature as much as they could have done. And the things that God wants to do through us can therefore be choked out. And the other thing he says is the cares of this life. The word of God sometimes gets crowded out by other things. And this, I think, sometimes is far more subtle. Because the cares of this life, well, they're legitimate, aren't they? We all need a place to live. We need food to eat. We need to be in safety. We need things like education. There are lots of things that we would define as legitimate cares of life. They're not luxuries, they're necessities. But Jesus is saying, even the necessities can get between you and the kingdom of God. Even necessities can come between us and what God is asking of us, and the change he wants to bring about in us. Either they will distract us because we're thinking about those things and we're getting distracted from the business of the kingdom of God, or we just try to defer what God is asking of us. And what I mean by that is every season of life has its demands, doesn't it? When you're growing up, I remember before I had kids, I used to think I was busy. And then we had a baby. And then I thought, I wasn't busy before now. What was I doing with all that time? And then we went from one baby to three babies. Three babies under three. And then I thought, I had been busy up until that point. And the thing is, every season of life has its demands. And during those seasons of life, I can tell you, it's so easy when God asks something of us to say, I'll do what I can, Lord, but I've got these things. And they're legitimate things. So we feel kind of justified in saying it. Sometimes it's our work. Sometimes work can be a real struggle. To keep a job, it can mean many hours. It can mean lots of overtime. It can be a financial burden which comes if you're self-employed. And that comes to dominate all of your thoughts. How am I going to put food on the table? It sounds legitimate, doesn't it? But Jesus said something very ironic, which is, do you know what? You need to forget all of that. Seek first my kingdom. Yeah, but what about all this stuff? If you seek first my kingdom, I will add all that stuff to you. I can do all of that in a heartbeat. What I need is your heart. So seek first my kingdom. Put me first, and all of those other legitimate cares of life, they'll be sorted out. And so often as believers, we get distracted with things, or we just say to God, not in this season, Lord. I'll give you more when things get quieter. Have you ever thought that to yourself? When things calm down, I'll give you a bit more. And God's thinking, yeah, you say that, but you said that in the last season. You thought you were busy then. There's never a good time to serve God. There's never a good time to give God everything that he asks of us. So we have to come to a point where we're willing to say, I'm going to put some legitimate things down, and I'm going to seek first the kingdom, and I'm going to trust that all that I need will be there. That nothing will be neglected in my life, including my children. You know, even your children can be that distraction or that reason not to serve him. I've got my kids. But we mustn't let anything come between us and the kingdom. It doesn't mean we don't love our children. It doesn't mean we're not going to take care of these things. But it means that we trust God that we'll do it by his strength and in his might, because we're putting him first. So you've got those three different areas. And then lastly, Jesus comes to the good soil. He says, but those that were sown on the good soil, this is in Mark's version. So Mark says this, Mark 4 verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now you notice he says three things. They're the ones who hear the word, number one, accept it, number two, and thirdly, bear fruit. And each one of those things is the opposite of what those three things we've just considered. The path, the rocky ground, and the weedy soil. And actually, those three things that we've just looked at are progressive things as well. In the first case, the seed is not even getting into the ground. In the second case, when we get to the rocky ground, now the seed's going, but it's just not going very deep. It can't set a root down. In the third case, it's now going into the soil. It's taking root. It's starting to grow and produce something. But guess what? It's now accompanied by these weeds. And the weeds are choking the harvest. So that which is produced is always stunted. It can't grow properly. It can't be all that it should be in our lives. With good soil, it's penetrating. In other words, our hearts are receptive to receive the word of God. It's being accepted, Mark says, that we accept the word. That means embracing what God says, embracing the change that needs to come. It means stewarding what God has said, taking responsibility to say, this is what God has spoken into my life. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to ask other brothers and sisters to help me walk in it. And then the third thing is, it will bear fruit. It'll spring up and bear fruit. And where the good soil is, it's not only been embraced, the word of God, but actually it's being given space. What God says is being given space in my life to actually produce something. It's not being crowded out by other stuff. But there's a fourth element here as well. In Luke's gospel, he says this, the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people. It's a strange phrase, isn't it? Good-hearted people who hear God's word, and here it comes, cling to it and patiently produce a good harvest. Do you hear that? Cling to it. What does that suggest to you? The word of God has come, and this is the person who clings to the word of God. Do we ever feel that we do that, that we really cling on to it? If you're clinging on to something, there's a sense of desperation there, isn't there? If you're hanging off a building and there's a rail there, and that's what you're attached to, you're clinging to that rail for dear life, aren't you? When Paul the Apostle was shipwrecked, it said that he washed up on the beach and he was clinging to a plank from the ship. That's how he got there. It speaks of how much we value the thing that we're clinging to, doesn't it? But he also says that it patiently produces a harvest. And sometimes we do all the first three things. We're receptive, we embrace the word, we make space for the word of God. But guess what? We need to be patient to see the word of God produce results in our lives. We need to be those like Abraham who had patient faith. It says in the book of Hebrews that Abraham, having patiently waited, obtain the promise. Being patient doesn't mean a lack of faith. It actually means endurance, and in the face of things not happening straight away, still believing, still looking at him, keeping our eyes on him, not getting distracted, not putting it off, not get disappointed and walking away, not saying, well, why has it not happened for me, but keeping our eyes on him until the word of God produces something in us. And folks, I want to be amongst God's people who are willing to receive the word of God, that don't have a shallowness so that we just pay lip service to what God is saying and what's being said amongst us, that we're not just singing songs and paying lip service and not really counting the cost and what does that really mean for me, but we make space for the word of God. But those that are willing to be patient until we see the promises of God come to fruition in our lives. How deep is the word of God going into your heart? How deep is your word, Lord? It's not something for us to get condemned about. The Holy Spirit is here to speak to us, to say, look, I want to lead you into good things. I want to help you where things have become a bit hard, where things are getting crowded out. I want you to be able to respond to my word and walk in all the fullness of it. So I just want to, we're going to sing a song now just to finish. And what I'd like to do is just ask you as we sing this song, I'm just going to pray. But I just want you to, as I'm praying, I just want to encourage you to pray individually. Just ask the Holy Spirit now to speak into your heart. And we're going to respond to Jesus' word into our lives. The promise of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come and it produces change. The good shepherd wants to lead us into green pastures. And that requires change. It requires us to embrace all that he has for us. It requires us to maybe lay some things down, to put aside things that are crowding out his primacy and his rightful place as Lord in our lives. So as we come to sing this song, I just want to ask you, Holy Spirit of God, would you speak to each one of us individually? We're asking you, Lord, to show us those places, Lord, where there could be a hard, downtrodden soil, a hard path that won't yield. Lord, where there's just shallowness, Lord, that's stopping your word from going deep. And Lord, where we've let other things crowd out your priorities, the legitimate cares of life, Lord, where we've let them come in and rob us of all the good things that you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Search for us online and get information about upcoming events and more great teaching.